From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, host of a show called Write the Book, which airs every Monday at 4 on WBTV LP. This week, I'm starting something new. I've been talking with writers whose book tours have been cut short due to our coronavirus quarantine. And in the next couple hours, in this special time slot, you'll hear short interviews with four of them. Janice Shade is the author of Moving Mountains, The Power of Main Street Americans to Change Our Economy, published by Onion River Press. She's a social entrepreneur, financial innovator, and author with 30 years' experience building brands, businesses, and movements. After an early career in brand management, she set out to explore new models for conscious commerce and community capital launching or co-founding for profit and nonprofit ventures, including True Body Products, Milk Money, and Local First Vermont, all of which share common themes of democratic access to capital, economic justice, and local economic resilience. In 2018, only 2.2% of venture capital went to women-led startups, less than 1% to Black entrepreneurs. The American dream of achieving prosperity through hard work and initiative has remained elusive for women, people of color, social entrepreneurs, and others marginalized by a system designed ages ago by white men of privilege. Until now. In Moving Mountains, The Power of Main Street Americans to Change Our Economy, Janice Shade uses storytelling and humor to deliver illuminating facts and practical tips. An entrepreneur and financial innovator since 2006, Janice lays out alternative financing opportunities for both entrepreneurs and citizen investors. In her new book, she includes stories of women entrepreneurs and their quests for capital, a history and expose of the inequities of our startup capital markets, evaluation of crowdfunding's past, present, and future potential, sneak peeks at the latest innovations in community-sourced capital, steps you can take today to align your money with your values. Moving Mountains is a book for people who are disenchanted with Wall Street and the current money system that perpetuates the concentration of wealth among the few. The book is meant to inspire and shed light on the emerging possibility to create economic justice for all. My interview with Janice Shade begins with my first question. I hope you enjoy our conversation. As it states in the last sentence of the back cover description, the book is meant to inspire and shed light on the emerging possibility to create economic justice for all. So anyway, I wondered if we could start with that line, but also with you talking about your background and why you decided to write this book.
That line really kind of sums up so much of the work that I have been doing. You know, work that started kind of on my own behalf and out of my own experience. And then over time and kind of seeing that my story wasn't unique just to me, that similar things were happening all over, and realizing that something needed to change, that the system is the financial system is really rigged against those who do not come from a background of privilege. Right. And simply for that reason, they just didn't, you know, were born in the wrong place at the wrong time, so to speak. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. What can we do to level the playing field, so to speak?
Right. And so when did you actually decide to write the book, and how long of a process was it for you?
I had the idea to write the book as I was closing down my first entrepreneurial venture. So this was back in at the very end of 2012, early 2013. And I set out to write it, you know, in a way as a cathartic experience for myself, to kind of get a lot of the anger, disappointment, frustration, and lots of those things kind of out of my body and mm-hmm. into the world. because I had, you know, the feelings were pretty raw, that I felt like I had kind of come up against some forces that that didn't need to be there, and that were working against my chances for success. Mm-hmm. And so I set out really to write it almost as an homage to other women entrepreneurs to say, here's what happened to me. Don't let this happen to you. So it was meant to be more of a memoir at that point. And so, I started down the path of taking some notes and writing some introductory things. I wrote some things to start off as a blog, came out as blog posts. And then a kind of reality set in that, I had just lost my business. I through all of that, I ended up having to, or I didn't have to, I made the choice to declare personal bankruptcy because of all of the debt that I had taken on, mm-hmm. to support my business. And I needed to get a job. And so that kind of took precedence for a while, and didn't really think about the book again too much. Although every now and then I would come back to thinking about it, until about 3 years after that, talking with a good friend of mine who had been through a lot of the tough times with me, just as a counselor and as a friend. And she said, you've got a story in you. You really need to put it down on paper. You need to get it out there. People need to hear your story. And she ended up introducing me to Paula Diaco, who was a writing coach. And I started working with Paula in, I think, probably February of 2017. So this is almost 4 years later. Started working with her and actually, really took some active steps toward writing the book. So she helped me to get clear on so many things. I've never written a book before. I know a lot about strategic planning for business, but I didn't know anything about strategic planning for writing a book. Uh-huh. So she was so helpful with that. And even just asking the first questions, is this a memoir? Is it a how-to? What genre is your book? And I'm like, helping me think through all of that and then developing the story arc for how I wanted it to play out. So working with her over the course of about 18 months is really what jump-started the book.
And how you were introduced to her by a writing friend, is that what you said?
Another friend who has just kind of been a mentor to me and is in the process of writing a book herself. Okay. And has been part of a writing salon with Paula. And so she knew of Paula through this writing salon. And so she made the connection.
And I'm just curious, is Paula local to your area?
She is local.
Okay.
So it was great that we could meet the first couple times. And she brought these big, flip charts of butcher block paper that we could just kind of write big notes and scribble on and draw lines and arrows, and this connects to that and scratch that up and put it over here. It was just so helpful for me to be able to visualize that with her. But then over time, now we're at the point, and especially these days when everyone is on Zoom, we meet, even though we live probably 5 miles apart, we meet mostly online, and that works fine too. And I think she works with a lot of other folks long distance, but boy, I really appreciated being able to work with her in person.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I want to get back to the subject matter of your book a little bit. You talk in the book about the importance of investments into sustainable and socially responsible businesses. So I wonder if we can talk, that seems so important to me. And I'm just wondering if we can talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. It's this interesting paradox we have, or in the way that we think about money, that, on the one hand, from a savings and investment standpoint, we want, we have our piles of money and we want them to get bigger. That's what we've been taught to do, is to invest them so that we grow our little nest eggs for whatever purpose we have in the long term, for those funds that we've set aside, whether it's for retirement or college savings, that kind of thing. And so as we're thinking about where we want to invest those funds, kind of the traditional path has always been, what's going to make me the most money?
Right.
What's the investment that's going to grow my portfolio the fastest and the highest rate? And often there's a disconnect between that goal, and then also wanting to support businesses or other ventures that really align with who we are as people. You know, there's this cognitive dissonance, I think, mm-hmm. is probably the right term for it, in, you know, somehow it's okay to invest in Monsanto because it's, you know, it's a good blue chip stock and it's going to make me lots of money. And yet Monsanto, you know, many would argue, me among them, that a lot of what they do in their everyday business practices is not good for the long-term health of the earth and society. And so how do we bring these two, you know, these two goals together? If we want to do what's best for ourselves in terms of financial, you know, financial stability and financial growth of our portfolios, and we want to use that money in order to promote and perpetuate businesses that are, they're, you know, really thinking about things and taking their role as corporate citizen seriously, yeah. and thinking through all of the impacts of how they run their business, not just the bottom line, not just how much money they make for their shareholders, but how they create their products, what those products do, what they're meant to contribute to the world. So that's, you know, that's kind of the, you know, these competing goals, because kind of what happens in the middle is there's this belief that investing in socially responsible businesses or sustainable businesses means you will have to take what's termed a concessionary return. And that's an actual term that many investors use, and they apply it to those investments where they feel like they will not be able to make market rates, and market meaning, you know, what they would make if they were investing just on, you know, on Wall Street. And that's kind of the proxy for, that's the highest rate that I could expect to earn. You know, if I invest in these sustainable businesses, I'm going to have to make some concessions around the financial returns. In other words, you know, I won't make as much money on that investment, but I'll get the feel good aspect of it.
Right. But I can tell my mother I did it.
Yes, exactly. I can pat myself on the back and I can feel very, you know, good about myself. And yet, and the crazy thing about that though is, so maybe you make a little bit less money. Maybe you don't. I mean, that's a whole other point that we could get into, but let's say for argument's sake that, you know, maybe you do have to take this lower return. You know, is that such a bad thing? I mean, right. it kind of all comes down to this construct around maximizing financial gain. And that phrase, maximizing financial return, that phrase really hasn't been around all that long, maybe about 100 years at most.
Yeah.
But that's not a notion that belongs to human beings.
Right.
You know, kind of, so it's something that we've built up recently, and it's been taken to the extreme.
On the other hand, like you just said, you know, maybe it doesn't just give a lower return if everybody does it. I mean, as we see now, as we watch what people are excited to put their money into, even in smaller ways, like supporting local bookstores while we're all in quarantine, and the local bookstores are suffering because they can't bring all their employees in to handle all of the business they have right now. But in fact, they're doing okay, it sounds like. And so the more people that make these kinds of investments, the more those businesses are going to be supported, and probably the better the returns. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, I think you've just nailed it right on the head there. They're like, because we are being brought down to bare basics, bare essentials, during this time, people are really starting to think about what's important to me. And what's important to me is keeping my local bookstore open. It's making sure the local farmers who run a farm stand still have, you know, still have money coming in so that they can be growing the food that I and my family need. Mm-hmm. And that's where the money's going. Coincidence? I don't think so. And it's almost as if this whole, you know, I think we're seeing it in so many ways, but in this instance too, that this strange time of crisis is offering us a reset.
Yeah.
And a time for everyone to just kind of step back and say, what's really important to me? Maximizing financial return or making sure that I have food and access to books and services and businesses in my community that are going to continue the social fabric of my community in the way that I know and love.
Right. You know, another story from your book that I think is relevant here, I think this is from pretty early in the book. You write about your time as the CEO of your startup soap company, and you went to Twincraft, which is a Winooski-based bar soap manufacturer. You were going to attend the production run of a new product, and you were told by the line managers, no CEO of a client company ever comes to a production run. And that really stood out to me because it seemed relevant to your message of local investment. But in this case, it's also the investment of time and hands-on experience and being involved, which I think is relevant.
Absolutely. I gained so much from that experience of watching to see how my product was made so that when I was talking with consumers or when I was working with my employees who were going to be talking to consumers, I had that deep knowledge of what was happening with my product and how it was made. And getting literally deep into the bowels of Twincraft and looking at the different ingredients that could be used to make my soap and being able to reject some because they did not match with my values. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that everything, down to the lowest level was really baked into, it was baked into the value, it matched with the values that were baked into my business. And, you know, I contrast that with some of the things that we see going on in the world today when CEOs or leaders at very high levels, when their business is caught red-handed doing something and saying, well, I didn't know about that. That was happening two or three levels below me or whatever. You know what? That's no excuse.
Right.
That lack of responsibility, that kind of delegation of responsibility so far down the line, so that they, you know, if you don't have a good handle of what's going on in your business, you don't deserve to be running that business. Or I'm going to take that back, and you're not to make it a personal condemnation. I think it's really more an indictment of the corporate system in general, mm-hmm. that sometimes systems just get too big,
yeah.
that a single person at the top can't know. So, you know, okay, I'll get off my little righteous horse about those poor CEOs. They probably can't know what's going on. And that's an indication that the system has gotten too big. It's no longer too big to fail. It's too big that it needs to fail.
Okay. Let's see. I want to just, before we say goodbye, I want to ask if you have any advice for writers who want to take their work and life experiences and bring them out in book form like you did.
I cannot stress enough getting the help of someone who has done this before. I'm getting a writing coach or working with an agent or someone who can help you think through your story and help you kind of step out of your story and into your reader's shoes.
Right.
And help you really understand who do you want to speak to and what do they want to hear from you? Having that outside perspective was so helpful to me.
Right. And then it was sort of serendipitous that you found Paula, but I'm just curious, like for other people, how do you recommend they research that?
Talk to other writers. Talk to other writers. I think that's, it was serendipitous for me, but it happened because the person I happened to be talking to was an aspiring writer herself. So I think that's, we all kind of have to stick together on that. And I'd actually like to help other writers. I've been thinking about just writing some blog pieces about my experience, mm-hmm. self-publishing, and what that was like. That was
right.
Now that could be a whole other session.
Yeah. Did you publish the book through a service, or how did you go about that? And we only have like a minute, but
So I did do it's what Paula would call hybrid self-publishing. Yeah. So I worked through Onion River Press, which is a division of Phoenix Books here in Burlington. So they were the kind of the middle person between me and Ingram Spark, who actually like literally published the book. So for the most part, I was on my own, but Onion River did manage the relationship with Ingram Spark, which I really appreciated a lot.
Right. That's great. Well, I want to mention again, the name of your book is Moving Mountains by Janice Shade. And you have an event coming up, an online event coming up. Is that true?
Yes. On Thursday, April 9th at 5 p.m., North Shire Bookstore. And so, since I can't get into the bookstore to do a book reading, we're going to do it virtually. So if you go to NorthShireBooks.com, I believe that's their website, they have the event on their event page, and you can sign up there and get the link to the Zoom meeting.
Okay.
So it's Thursday, April 9th, 5 p.m.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful to talk to you, and good luck with this, and have a safe and healthy isolation during our strange time here.
Thanks. And it's been wonderful to meet you on the phone, and I hope someday we can meet in person.
From the Media Factory in the south end of Burlington, Vermont, this is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP Burlington, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, host of Write the Book, a Monday show on WBTV LP for writers and curious readers. I'm hopping into this time slot with four short interviews to highlight authors whose works are just out, but whose book tours have been interrupted by the quarantine. That was an interview with Janice Shade. As we live through this bizarre period in history in which the entire world is basically in isolation, I hope that you're able to read and to write. And if possible, I hope that you are able to support authors by attending their online events, reading their blogs and virtual book tours, and finding your way to their books. And for all of you who are trying to write while in isolation, be sure to check the archives of Write the Book, because each episode offers a prompt written out on the podcast site under the recorded interview. I'd love your feedback about the show. Let me know if you'd like me to interview certain authors during my Monday slot. Each of those interviews tends to be more like 30 to 45 minutes. Be sure to tell your friends about Write the Book and about the podcast site, which is writethebook.podbean.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Play and lots of other podcast sites. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and on Facebook for updates, and you can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. If you like the show and if you like what you heard today, please listen on Mondays at 4 and rate it on iTunes and like it on Facebook and talk about it. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, and you've been listening to Write the Book. I'd like to thank WBTV LP for the opportunity to have done a special show today outside of my normal time slot. This is 99.3 FM, WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. The rest of this hour will be filled with music. Stay well and have a great week.